Pop Spotting 102.
Tuesday, August 9th, 2011.
I think you have that same feeling that I get when I play. The nothing else matters feeling. I think you need that right now.
Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
It's TV Tuesday.
And we're going to talk about a show that we came to love late, but caught up with it in its final glory, and that's Friday Night Lights. It was born on NBC, but became a joint production between DirecTV, the satellite provider, and NBC. And yes, it was adapted from a book that came out in 1990 about small-town football in Texas, and of course, perhaps more well-known, a movie that came out in 2004. Now, only a couple of the actors from that movie made it to the series, Connie Britton and Brad Leland, but a lot of people didn't think you could make a TV series out of this football film, but I'd say they definitely did it.
It didn't get the audience that it deserved for sure, because
absolutely,
I think NBC really marketed this show as a show about football, which is definitely not the case. There's football in this show, but it's a very, very small time spent on football. This show is about characters in a small town in Texas.
Now, we missed a lot of this because, of course, back in 2006, we might have been obsessed with another TV show. And I would agree that when NBC was marketing it, it was kind of played up as something that that guys would want to watch. They did play up that football element. They were really going after a younger audience. But as soon as we started watching it, and I would say me perhaps a little reluctantly, it was clear that Friday Night Lights was a character drama. And in fact, I would have to say a film that might have been more appealing and more better marketed if it was directed at women. I mean, it is that much more of a rich film and that much less of a football film. In fact, if any football fans watched this show really carefully, from what I understood, it didn't necessarily get football really correctly, but it did get characters in interpersonal relationships wonderfully.
Well, no, the football is really silly because, I mean, how many times did Dylan score in the last, like, 3 seconds?
Right. They kind of go for that. They kind of do things in football or say things about football that, I mean, they clearly needed to have consultants to get them to do that right, because it turns out that it was about the team. It was about these young men. It was about the women in the coaches' lives. It was about the school, about the teachers, and, of course, about all of these characters that we get to know throughout these 5 seasons. Unfortunately, the show never ranked higher than 52 in the Nielsen's, which I think is a crying shame. And yes, between after the writer's strike and then they thought it was going to be canceled, they had to do a financing deal with DirecTV to finish the series. So in fact, although they just aired the series finale on NBC last month, mm-hmm, you could actually go out and buy the DVDs before the series finale came out because it had already aired on DirecTV. And to give you an idea of how addicted we were to this show and how eager we were to see how it ended, is that even though we only had 2 more episodes to wait for it to be broadcast for free on NBC, I did go out that third week in and buy the DVDs because we just had to watch it. So what about Friday Night Lights sucked you in? Why do you love this show?
I knew all of these people. I grew up in a small town where football was very close to a religion, not as much as it is in Texas, but still very important. I was in some cases, I was these people. I feel like everything about this show brings back so many memories, but at the same time, I really love and care for and respect all of these characters.
Well, you know, I think the authenticity is something that I feel, even though I didn't have the background of growing up in a small town that was obsessed with football and or any sport, in fact, or where, you know, kids kind of have different morals, different interactions that I would certainly say is different from growing up here in Hawaii, but I could just feel that it was authentic. Now, the performances, I think, really make this film. But I do want to start more as a nerd, because what drew me into this show before I realized it wasn't about football was I just like the way it was made. I like the way this show is shot. It's done documentary style, maybe 3 cameras tops in any scene, and they seem to do it all in one take. It's largely, you know, it just feels natural. I don't know if they're improvising or if they just get that great writing that it feels, it comes off their tongue really well. I mean, I don't want to compare it to Aaron Sorkin, who seems to come up every week on our show, but some of the dialogue in other shows are unrealistic because they're so clever or they're so smart, or you know that someone doesn't have the ability to just kind of deliver that. In this show, it's not high-minded dialogue, but it is real dialogue.
No, there are awkward pauses. There are times when people do not know what to say to each other. There's all kinds of just everything that happens in the dialogue rings really true, especially the conversations between Connie Britton and Kyle Chandler,
yes,
who play Coach Taylor and Tammy Taylor.
So, of course, the heart of the show is the Taylors, Kyle Chandler and Connie Britton. And in fact, their performances are so good that they're the ones that are always singled out for the show. They were nominated for the Emmys, you know, the lead actor and lead actress Emmys in 2010 and this last year as well. And I agree. They feel real. And in fact, they have a teenage daughter, played by
Amy
Teagarden, Julie Taylor, their daughter. And the reason why I know that that they do really good writing and they feel realistic is because I hate that kid. I hate that teenager so much. And the fact of the matter is I have such a visceral reaction to her character is because it feels like dealing with, I don't know, having a teenager in the house myself.
I feel for Julie. I really do. Julie does really stupid stuff and Julie is insufferable. But you know what? I was a teenage girl once,
right.
So I know exactly where she's coming from, even though I want to kill her occasionally myself.
So you have this family in this small town trying to basically deal with what is, as you said, a religion for this community, and being so close to the epicenter of that is not easy. So you have those three characters. Again, they film not on sets. There's not like a sound stage with lights. They're actually filming in houses in Texas. They're filming actually at schools, in high school football stadiums, on the road. I mean, again, realism is key. The naturalism is key. So a show not about football, about the characters. I did want to spend a significant amount of time talking about the characters in Friday Night Lights. Who are the people that you were really attached to, apart from the Taylors, that made you want to tune in every week?
Tim Riggins, played by Taylor Kitsch.
Yeah.
Tim Riggins is a bad boy.
He's
with a heart
type.
Of gold. He's not my type.
He is.
But Tim Riggins is really struggling internally. I mean, he doesn't have any shelf life outside of football. And we see Tim trying to figure out his place in the world, trying to figure out what he's going to do next. And he wants to figure out how to do the right thing. And I don't know. I guess if I have to compare Riggins to a character, I think the closest comparison would be Sawyer on Lost. Mm. He's a little bit like Sawyer Jr. in that Sawyer really struggled with emotions and demons and tried to figure out how to do the right thing also.
Well, I will agree, even though he's not my type, that I think Tim Riggins is definitely one of the core characters of the show. You also have in the show for several seasons Matt Saracen, who's sort of the counterpart of Tim Riggins. Tim Riggins is a bad boy. You have Matt Saracen, who's the good boy, played by Zach Guilford, and he struggles with the same thing, like what will he do when he's not the god of the town, because when he's not the quarterback anymore, you know, what is his life is about. And I would say both of these characters have a difficult home life, but I think Matt's is one that more people can identify with.
Matt's relationship with his Alzheimer's stricken grandmother is so great because it's something that shows have never been able to deal with in a serious way. And this show really, it really portrays his relationship with his grandmother in a way that nobody's ever seen before.
I agree. I mean, it's uncomfortably realistic. And I suppose that's just going to be a word that comes up quite a bit when we're talking about Friday Night Lights. And in fact, on that point, Friday Night Lights does something that a high school show often doesn't have the guts to do, which is, yes, this show was on the air for 5 years, and people, especially if they're juniors and seniors and playing football, they're not exactly going to be around for 4 or 5 years. So rather than coming up with convoluted explanations or stretching out the storyline where suddenly you have 30-year-olds on the football field, this show did go through a transition where a number of the characters that everybody was in love with graduated, and they turned it over to get new characters.
And it was done in such an audacious way. It was so matter-of-fact. Everybody knew it was coming, you know, in the storylines and the way the show was written. Everybody knew that it was coming, and they brought in these new characters, and I felt like the characters were brought in such a seamless and natural way. And just as I had cared about all of the people who graduated, I came to love the people who came in. And everybody, even if I didn't like a particular character, I still felt like he had a place on the cast.
Well, what I liked about it is that you really are following, again, the Taylor's experiences, the coach's experience, and that's what his life is going to be. He might become really close to a lot of these seniors. He might set them off, hopefully, on the right track and send them off to success, but that means that when you come back to school the next year, it's another bunch of new faces. You have got to start from scratch. And, I mean, I feel that it was actually a little awkward. It was a little bit of a bump, but it was a way that made me feel like this was actually happening. So again, it's the awkwardness of the show as much as the triumphs and the trials and the tribulations and the challenges that I think makes this show so compelling. Now, back to the characters. Any other favorites?
Tyra Collette is my favorite character on the show. She's
really
played by Adrienne Palicki because she's such a complex and interesting person. We initially do not like her at all. I guess to be completely blunt, she's the town slut.
Okay.
But she is, we find out later on, she is the adult in her home life. She is taking care of her alcoholic mother and her sister who works in a strip club. Tyra is the one that's keeping everything together. And she's very smart. She's very shrewd, but she's not able to use any of that in her life until Tammy Taylor helps her get into college. And then we see Tyra really getting her stuff together and getting ambitious and doing something with her life.
Well, you know, again, the female characters, I think, really stand out in the show. I mean, when you talked about Connie Britton and Kyle Chandler, between the two of them, if I had to, you know, save only one of them in a house fire, it's going to be Connie Britton's character.
She is criminally underappreciated. It drives me crazy that Connie Britton does not have an Emmy.
So you have Tyra Collette, you have Adrienne Palicki's character. I think she's fantastic. I think that even like the love interest from the early seasons, you had Lila Garrity, played by Minka Kelly. You see her everywhere now, but back then, I mean, I think this was really a standout role for her.
I think she was
really compelling, and not just because she was pretty. And when you move and these characters evolve and you meet additional characters like Jess Merriweather, who's played by Journey Smollett, I think she's fantastic because, you know, that's a character that I thought we would have early on, which is somebody who's just as attracted to and affected by and invested in football, but just happens to be a girl.
Yeah.
And what she has to face to be in that world, I think, is also
she
very
loves
true to
the
life.
Game. I mean, that's something you don't see in shows. A woman that's really into sports and really digs sports. And she's competing against a bunch of guys just to get a little bit of respect.
Now, you talked about Tyra's character and kind of the struggles that she faces. Another character in the show, Becky, played by Madison Burge, she, I think, has perhaps one of the more gut-wrenching storylines in the 5 years of the series. And it's the show was fearless in going where it went, in following what she went through, and in fact the decision that she makes and the decision that it affects other people in the community, and in fact it also affects, you know, Mrs. Taylor, the wife in the story. I mean, basically it's an abortion storyline, which I don't think I would have ever seen on network television.
Definitely not. And Madison Burge gave a really great performance, and not just in that part of the storyline, she actually tells the story to other characters later on in the series, and that scene to me was amazing. She just pulled it off so well.
Now, you do have young men and young women in the show, and they're going to have hormones, and certainly that is a very significant part of the show. But I, as you said, you were these characters. I perhaps might have wished I was these characters. I was never cool enough to be anywhere near the football team, but I certainly can understand the dynamics of teen life and the politics and the love triangles. Now, there was a brief period where you had Tim Riggins, you had Lila Garrity, and you had Jason Street. Now, Jason Street is the quarterback at the start of the show, but let's just say that what happens to him is very unexpected. It's a very, shall we say, Lost's original premise as far as Jack was concerned, and what that would mean to a story that you think you're invested in that goes in a completely different direction. But I think that was really well done. But again, the romantic relationships in all of these characters, it's not a soap opera. It feels real, where you feel their pain and you feel their joy when they get that first yes to a date.
I really felt the Jason Riggins and Lila triangle was played without any melodrama, that it was completely realistic, and the fallout that Lila faces at school from her relationships with both of these guys is so real. I've never really seen anything like this, where a girl has to deal with her peers after, you know, after all of this happens.
Right. Now, also really central to the story, I mean, you've got a team, which is essentially a family, and these dynamics, I think loyalty is a theme that really stands out and is really explored well in this show. Just the loyalty that some characters have to other characters and the relationships in their lives. Now, you mentioned Matt Saracen. He has a good friend named Landry Clark, played by Jesse Plemons, and that friendship, and specifically Landry's character, I cannot help but love that dude to death.
I love him too. I can't really describe Landry. Landry isn't every man. I think everybody knows a Landry.
I would agree with that. I think maybe it's because he's so universally familiar. He's not a stereotype. He's not a token character, but he's not the sharpest tool in the shed, but he's not the dumbest. He's not malicious. He means well, but he makes mistakes. But the loyalty, the closeness of his relationship with Matt, I think is something that's worth noting. You have Tim Riggins. He has a brother named Billy, played by Derek Phillips. That relationship, that test of loyalty plays a big part in the later seasons of the show. In fact, it kind of explains where Tim's character goes for a while. And I think, again, another wonderful exploration of what people will do for other people when they have that level of closeness.
I think their relationship is very special and the actors really pull it off, but I really enjoy the friendship between Billy's wife, Mindy, and Becky, who become friends. Mindy does not initially trust Becky for a few reasons, but they end up having a very special bond and a very very special relationship that's very sweet, and that's a really good thing to see.
I think one of the things that is going to become very clear from what we're saying and what you will experience if you haven't watched Friday Night Lights, and you should, is that all of these characters are not just interesting, but they evolve and change in very specific and tangible ways. It's not like, ooh, he's a bad guy and he learns a lesson and becomes a good guy. There's much more to that. There's much more dimension to that. And when you see, if you go back and watch an earlier episode, you can remember that that's how a character was, and it's amazing how you can track how you understood them evolving over time to become who they are at the end of the series. Now, finally on the question of loyalty too, I did want to ask you about the character of Buddy Garrity. Now, Buddy Garrity is played by Brad Leland. He positions himself as the best friend or good buddy of Coach Taylor, but I think that in terms of a person, in terms of where he fits in the hierarchy of this town and of the politics and of the sport, I mean, what is Buddy's deal?
Buddy is a booster of the football team. He donates a lot of money to the football team, and he's, you know, I used to say that this show was like a Greek drama, and to me, Buddy Garrity is the reason for that. Buddy Garrity is like a scheming Greek counselor in a Greek drama. He's very shrewd. He's a little bit of a weasel, and we never really figure out who his friends are.
Yeah, and I did find him really fascinating, and he even gets his own sort of character development. He has issues with his family, with his wife, and of course with his son, and that kind of comes back. I mean, it's really neat how little threads and little conflicts perhaps dropped in the first two seasons might come back 2-3 years later and really manifest themselves. But yeah, Buddy is one of those characters who, you know, however you feel all of these characters' arcs end up at the end of the series, his is the one where I'm like, I'm not really sure where that guy's going.
And but you never really find out where he's going. Right, I mean, right. Even in the end, we still know that he's got his own agenda and he's got his own things going on. So even in the very end of the show, we really don't know Buddy.
Right. I agree. I mean, I like how you said Greek counselor and or whatever that character is in these movies where they're scheming and politics. Buddy is the character in this film who's the only one with his lens wide enough or high enough to see the bigger picture or to track the bigger picture. He might say he's Coach Taylor's friend, but he knows where he fits in the grand scheme of things. And that might mean that he may or may not be there when you need the guy. So very intriguing. And so here you have a show that was faced with cancellation that had to basically switch characters. Had to deal with the writer's strike. They even changed venues halfway through the show, shall we say. I mean, there's some significant steps and changes that are made, but the show still powers through. It keeps you hooked all the way through. You do want to see how it turns out. Now that we have finally seen all of Friday Night Lights, I mean, is there anything about Friday Night Lights that you wanted to see, that you were left hungry for, that you wanted more of?
What I felt like the show needed was a bad guy. Just a person who was so hateable, but that you love to hate, that brought everybody together, you know, like we needed a common enemy among all of these people. And partway through season three, we meet a character named Joe McCoy, played by D.W. Moffat, and he's so great. He's the best bad guy. D.W. Moffat completely nailed it. And I was really thinking that they were building up for Joe McCoy to do something completely horrible and very destructive, and that never really happened. We don't even see him in season five, and I really would have loved to see D.W. Moffat play a bigger role on the show.
You know, until you mentioned it, it didn't even occur to me that you're right. It's not like there's the evil commissioner or the governor or something slightly higher up that will always serve as somebody that everybody in this tiny little town of Dillon, Texas might hate or might have to deal with. It is true that there's not the Darth Vader character, but I think as awesome, I mean, I barely remembered this character, because I think what really made Friday Night Lights compelling was that if there were bad guys or bad actors, it's the bad elements within all of these characters that we know. I mean, it's basically dealing with demons. You had the whether it's a test of the loyalty or the relationship between the Taylors or between good friends or best friends or between the quarterback and the rest of his team, the things that threatened them, the things that could have destroyed them, were all within themselves. And I think that's why maybe they didn't suddenly create this big giant arc where you had an evil bad guy, because really what was more interesting to people, or at least to me, was that these people are their own worst enemies when you get right
down to
it.
Yeah, I mean, that is what I love about the show, that there are good things and bad things about every character, and the show is about fighting inner demons, but D.W. Moffat was so great.
Well, Friday Night Lights, as we mentioned, finally was broadcast in full on NBC after being aired first on DirecTV. You can go out right now and pick it up on DVD, and in fact, I think it also is available on streaming in a variety of ways.
Trust me, people. If you only watch one show that we recommend, make it this one.
Wow.
Just trust me.
That is really high praise. So there you go. Friday Night Lights. It's not about football. It's not for guys. It's a great show. You've got to check it out. Before we go, we're hoping that if you're a fan of Friday Night Lights like you are, you were following the Television Critics Association or those presentations that were just happening last week. There is a lot of news coming out, of course, about a variety of shows, but the one that really struck me related to Friday Night Lights. The creator of the TV series, Peter Berg, says that he is pitching a movie based on the TV series. So yes, he's pitching a movie based on a TV series that's based on a movie that was based on a book. But in any case, he wants to give us more of the story of the characters that we loved here on Friday Night Lights. He in fact says that a script was completed and that the movie is on track for potentially being released next year.
Yeah.
So that's your assignment. You need to catch up with 5 seasons of Friday Night Lights by that time. Well, if you are a fan of the show, we'd certainly love to hear from you. If you're giving it a shot, if you're having trouble perhaps getting into it, all of these things are interesting to us. We want to hear from you. Feedback is what keeps us going, so please share your thoughts on this or any other topic that we cover here on Pop Spotting.
Leave a comment on our blog at popspotting.net, drop us a line at feedback@popspotting.net, or leave us a voicemail at 815-310-0808.
You can also connect with us at facebook.com/popspotting or twitter.com/popspotting.
Be back tomorrow to reflect and revel in our adventures in San Diego.
That's right. Thanks to Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for our theme song, and thank you for listening.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
Aloha.
Aloha.